are again.
Amen.
And hungry hearts will find the Lord. Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst, and you'll be filled.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real. I mean, that's a good thing to know. And that was one of the things that we were talking about that Mary said last night at Elizabeth's in the scripture when she spoke out. She said, the hungry will be filled. And I remember going through the Beatitudes in comparison to everything that Israel had been taught before that, and they were not like that. They were not that all this, you have to be perfect, you have to do this, but rather you have to be hungry, you know, instead of, you know, and meek, and, you know, it was like, you know, this is so different from the way everything had been presented before. When you hear it straight out of Jesus's heart, out of his mouth, because out of the abundance of his heart he spoke there, you realize that this isn't a contest. This is those who desire him on a level different than American religion or denominational religion. In a certain sense, and I know this will sound strange to some, but without any religion at all, just wanting Jesus, just desiring Jesus, not trying to bolster your religion, just want to know Jesus, just want to be with Jesus, just want to love him, just want to know his love, and just want to be a vessel, not of our religion, but a vessel of his very life. That's different. That's really, 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 really different. And you know, we've talked about oneness. We've talked about our new identity to identify into him. And we related that to our old identity, which is who we were by first birth, by our first birth, and who we are by being born again by his nature. We call it born again or new birth. The actual Greek translation there is born from above. Instead of our first birth is so of this earth. And our thoughts that go with that birth is so of this earth and of our life here. How we're perceived. What we, you know, it's all about this realm. And then, of course, part of our major theme has been the reality of God revealing his son in us, and seeing that teaching in the New Testament by Paul was given to church members who had already been saved, and probably in their salvation asked Jesus to come in their heart. But Paul wasn't wanting Jesus to, quote unquote, come in our heart and then not be a factor, but rather Christ to be the very life of the vessel. Christ in us. And it's been, you know, it's been good. The emphasis has been on him. The emphasis has been on all of those things. And Bree, I can tell you that I think we've all rejoiced over what we've heard so far, but tonight I have to talk about the cross.
Thank you.
So I'm sorry you're coming in when the axe is laid to the root, but God knows. God knows. And all the things that we've discussed so far, which are so wonderful and so otherworldly of his realm, because he is that realm. He is that realm that we want to explore all the vastness of his heart, the incredible emphasis of his mind and letting that mind be in us. And all of those things cannot, you know, in oneness with him and being his body and all of these things, and none of that can happen, none of it. It is all requisite on one thing, and that's the cross. The cross. So we do want to talk about that, because everything would just become theology. And easier to swallow. If there was no cross. But Paul said, we preach Christ and him crucified. And so we want to talk about, y'all have heard me, most of you have heard me use the term crucified language. We want to talk about some of the crucified language of the scriptures, and we've done that before to some degree, but I'm going to take a little different angle, ending what I want to share with an emphasis on Barabbas. And I guess the title that I kind of picked for this was, Why Would We Choose Barabbas? But we're not going to talk about that right off the cuff. We want to make some progress here. So let's first just sort of talk about crucified language. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. And in the scriptures we're about to read, we want to see that the conclusion of them is going to be that we're crucified. Okay, that's the thing that makes them all real. Okay, and then I want you to add to that, instead of being distracted by every other part, I want you to notice the flesh, and the word the flesh. These first ones include the spirit and the flesh. I don't even want you necessarily to see that contrast as much as the flesh, and then the conclusion of these scriptures that the flesh is going to be dealt with by the cross. It is not going to be left to roam the valleys and hills of your insides.
Oh, that's right.
It is meant to be put to death and buried, that Christ himself may take his habitation, take up his home. And he's meant from before the foundation of the world that we would be his habitation. And so we need to see the ruthlessness of the flesh and what and how it will take over if we allow. All right. So Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not, here it is, fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, so this is sort of like some sort of alien creature inside of you that wants to fulfill itself. Can I put it like that? It has an appetite. It has demands. It has desires. And we'll even see many of these words applied to the flesh. We just read over and we go, yeah, you know, the flesh, you know. But, I mean, this is like a ruthless enemy of the habitation of God, or the very temple and sanctuary of God that we're meant to be, that regularly pushes forward and pushes its way and demands attention and demands what it wants. And so, shall not fulfill it has lust or desires, or and these desires many times are demands. Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit. Okay, so one of the things is that by having it, again, like an alien thing inside of you, by having its demands just all on its own, it just has it what it wants and when it wants or whatever, all those things, and doesn't want it all the time. Sometimes it feels like it lays back and then we're just okay. But it's there, and as soon as, you know, it spots something where it wants to go, it will seek to go. But it also has a how do you say it, when you have a superhero and the
antagonist,
that's which one. What else did we hear?
Supervillain.
Supervillain. The spirit is that. But here's the key, and please know this. These scriptures are going to prove that the superhero, the spirit, is not what's going to win the battle. It's going to be the cross. And we're going to also notice very powerfully that we didn't notice the cross before. We only noticed the spirit as if that was going to solve this for us. Okay? So with that in mind, and maybe even thinking, really? Even within the same context, the same scriptures, we're going to see that? Then may we see that. Or if we don't see it, then run me out of the room. But it's so plain that there's no question here. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Okay, so there is a, it doesn't say anything about removal. It just says when the spirit is there, strong, and you know that feeling. Okay. So verse 19, for the works of the flesh are manifest. Right. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So you may read that and say, praise God, I don't have any of those in me, so I don't really have the flesh. But yours are included under and such like. So you didn't get away with anything here. And besides these, you know, what about strife or envying, or anybody had any problems with that, or, you know. Okay, so of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past. Okay, I've told you this, and I did it in time past, and I've told you before, and I'm telling you again, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I'm going to give you my opinion here, not necessarily something you have to believe. I believe that the kingdom of God relates to the rule of Christ within us, the government of the nature of Christ. Now, yes, that can manifest outwardly in all of the ways that we picture that. But I believe, you know, I've always said, people have asked me, what's the definition of the kingdom of God? And I say, anywhere Christ rules. So you can't, Christ isn't ruling if these things are still running rampant in us. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
So I don't believe it's saying, well, that, you know, it's trying to emphasize, well, then you're just going to hell. If you don't let, you know, if you're letting these things go, you're just going to hell. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not what I was trying to emphasize here. And here's why. Because the issues with God aren't as we are religiously, well, heaven or hell. It's Christ or not Christ. That's the emphasis of the Father's heart. That Christ may dwell in you richly. That's what he wants. These are issues of the heart, not issues of some, you know, foreign heaven or foreign hell. These are issues of right now. These things are issues of right now. See? And so he's trying to bring us into something here. Verse 22. All right. So here it is. So we go, okay. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Okay, so here we go. We go, the Spirit is contrary also to the flesh. And the fruit of the Spirit's going to win out. Well, remember, this alien creature's still running around in there. First of all, that's not acceptable to God. You know, he didn't say one day I will have a temple and it will be y'all and you all and you and I'll live there. But, you know, I'm going to let your rats have, you know, their way at night. You know, and they can run around. No. You wouldn't like that. You're not near as pure as he is. So there's got to be a better answer, okay? All right, well, the better answer is the next verse. And finally, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Okay. So the answer wasn't the Spirit. The true superhero is Christ crucified. Come on, get with it. Because this is the end of it. The other one was just a contrary thing going on. Mm-hmm. You know. But this puts that enemy to death. Yeah. And this is God's answer. And how many people have you ever heard quote, verse 22 and 23 about the fruit of the Spirit? Oh, the fruit of the Spirit. And then go right in and say, but we all need to die. We need to be crucified. The Bible, that Paul, God, who had him do it. But somehow we sweep that under the carpet and never really even notice that because we're so joyful about the fruit of the Spirit that we hardly ever display. But we read about it and we go, yay, the fruit of the Spirit, yeah. You know, here in the book, not in here, but, you know. And the fruit of the Spirit is only as good as long as the works of the flesh. You notice that was the two contrasts. It was the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is not working in you. All right. So, and notice that the emphasis here is they that are Christ's are the ones that are crucified. See, because this isn't all, you know, this is crucified language. This is the cross that must be applied to us, or all of the wonderful things we've talked about up to this point are not true. I mean, they're true in spirit, mm-hmm. but they're not true in us. Mm-hmm. Remember, speak the truth in love. Mm-hmm. Remember the process? Mm-hmm. And it's having that truth and da-da-da. But it can't happen without the cross. Mm-hmm. All that beautiful progression that was there in those scriptures, it can't happen without the cross. It can't. Mm-hmm. Right. And, okay, but what can happen is we can deceive ourselves. Yes. We say, well, the devil deceived me. You know, the scriptures say more about us deceiving ourselves than the devil deceiving us. Did you know that? It speaks more about us deceiving ourselves than the devil. You know, we're going, the devil, he's a deceiver. Well, so are we. Well, who do I deceive? Yourself. Because we go, well, I'm okay. I'm not so bad. You know, I've got this alien creature. And yeah, he sticks his head out quite a bit, you know. And somebody, you know, mistreats me. And, you know, that alien creature will, wah, wah, attacks him, you know.
Shit, immediately.
Yeah. And then we go, oh, my God, I feel better that they got what they deserved. They didn't deserve Christ out of me. They deserved that creature. So in these verses, there's no need talking about the fruit of the Spirit unless the lusts or the desires, and the truth is that word lust there isn't lust like sexual lust or whatever. The word there in the Greek is simply desires. It's that simple. Do we let it have its desires? As if its desires were worthy of honor. And in answer, no. But in the moment, yes, because I want. Well, at that moment, we are the flesh. And we never are the spirit. So there's only one answer. Death to that. Death to that. Okay? So, let's just a little bit over from that in the next chapter, chapter 6. Let's look there as we try to follow out a little bit of this. This is Galatians 6:12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. Okay, so this is just talking about us wanting to, our flesh wanting to be seen or wanting to be acknowledged or wanting to be important or wanting to be loved or wanting to be something. It's just wanting to make a fair show. Not a horrible, sinful display, but a fair show. We go, well, my flesh is sweet. It only wants to make a fair show. It doesn't want to make a ruckus. Do I use that word here, ruckus?
Yeah.
Good. Doesn't want to make a ruckus. Doesn't want to cause problems. Just wants to have a fair show.
Okay.
Yeah. Just everybody turn when I walk in the room. That's all I ask. And look, you know, oh, they're here. Or, you know, whatever. I don't know. You know, it's... Sometimes I use examples that come to my mind and I wonder if they're from the Lord or something, you know. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Okay, so what do we have here? We have a contrast of them making a fair show, but it's using the example of circumcision, which is something that they did in the flesh to prove that they were of God. So we do things in the flesh to try to prove to everybody we're of God. Okay, now let's just go around the room and ask everyone to give an example of it. Not really. I'm
sorry. From today.
Yeah, we'd have to be going through the night as all this is shared. But in this situation, we're not talking about actual circumcision as the Jews had to do it, but we are talking about something that proves to others that I'm really of God. Okay. And Paul is contrasting that, which might mean cutting off something. Like, I usually insult people, but when I get in a group, I'm going to, you know. And the example I've used of that many times before, and some of you have known me, is, you know, years ago in the particular church building that we were in, it was an old Methodist church and had stained glass and whatever. And and I would go at the front door, and when people would come in Sunday morning, coming into church, you know, I would greet them. I would shake their hands and I would say, good morning, and, you know, da 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 da. And those of you who haven't heard this story, then you'll understand. And so, you know, everybody who came up to the door, he said, "Good morning, you know, how you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing great, Jesus is Lord, praise God." You're shaking hands and stuff like that, you know, and it's just like, yeah, you know. And so one morning I'm on my way to church. Now I'm a little bit late, but I'm not too late to get at the door, but I'm a little bit late. And I pull up to the light and I look over and there's one of our church families that are there with their wife and kids, you know, and they're sitting there and I look over and they're yelling at the kids, "Shut up! Sit down back there! My God, why don't you open it?" And it was just like this hurricane, you know, going on in there. Just, you know, and so I ended up getting there before they did when I met him at the door. "Good morning, how are you?" "Oh, praise God, brother. Everything's good." You know what I mean? And I was just going, you know, we got a problem here. We like to make a fair show in the flesh. When in reality, we are messed up. Or, can I put it another way? In reality, we are letting the alien creature have his way and not dealing with things by Christ crucified. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Though we hear it. I mean, because I've kind of always preached this, you know. So it wasn't like they had never heard it. Paul is making this contrast of making a fair show by stopping doing certain things, cutting off certain things that would be our version of circumcision, maybe only cutting it off for our religious purposes. Does that make sense? Yeah. For our religious efforts and purposes. And Paul comes back with and says, they do this because they don't want to suffer for the cross. They don't want it to actually be a death. They don't want it to actually be, "I'm crucified." They are maybe even fighting against the cross. Okay? Anybody ever fought against the application of the cross? Well, I'm glad you two have, because you're the only, you know, there's the third. Okay, you're the ones that are members of my church. The rest of y'all are holy, but that's...
You know. We deceive ourselves.
And you're good at it too, right? So his next verse, the next thing he says is, "But God forbid that I should glory..." Okay, so indeed, the fair show and their version of circumcision had to do with some sort of glory in them that they were of God on some basis that absolutely, positively had nothing to do with the cross. And Paul is appalled at that. And that's where the word appalled came from. These things are not in my notes. For those who don't know me, they come out all the time, right, Lindsay? Yes. You know? "But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, so let's stop there and make this real quick. How many of you glory in the cross? Be honest, raise your hand. We're just you glory in the cross. Well, you do. Well, you go, "Yes, I glory in the cross." But Paul is not glorying in the cross the way we do. He's glorying in the cross, here it is, "by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." The cross he's glorying in is not Jesus' death at the cross, but his own. Wow! See? I'm glad I'm dead. I'm glad my flesh is dead. And Paul probably would say, you know, in the Jews' religion, I was constantly putting myself forward, constantly trying to outdo everybody else, constantly trying to get promotion, constantly trying to be thought of as spiritual so that I could work my way up through the system. And, you know, he was a Pharisee. You know that, don't you? Yeah, Paul was a Pharisee and sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Wow! You know, I mean, this is big stuff, but he was still working it. And he thought he'd get points for killing Christians. That's how deceived we can get. When, in fact, they didn't need to die, he did.
That's right.
And see, he didn't know that, but when he found it out, he embraced it.
He did.
You know, this is, you know, I can just see him. This is important. This is serious.
Right.
You know, we're not going to play with this. Yeah. And he could be talking to himself, to his flesh. We're not going to play around.
Right.
We're not going to act like we got something that we don't, whether it be that we act like we're spiritual and we're not, or whether we act like we're dead, or at least try to help people believe that we are that. When we're not. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because it's a clear comprehension that he had when he saw his attitude. I'm a crucifier. Jesus was not a crucifier. He was the crucified. And I blame, even when someone's wrong. I mean, Jesus was the crucified when everybody else was wrong. And we go, well, you know, Jesus goes, well, you're all to be blamed. Of course he didn't do that. He just died for us. Mm-hmm. Well, that same Jesus lives in us. Mm-hmm. Or is in us, but doesn't live. Because we still blame and say, you need to die. You know, you need to die. When in reality, we need to, not because we're wrong, but because it's Christ in us. That's a completely different reason. Think about that. I want you to think about that. Not because we need to die, not just because we're wrong, but because it's Christ in us to lay down our life, to die. It's his nature. It's what he would do, did do, and will continue to do in his own body, as long as he has control of it and the flesh doesn't. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
Still glad I came?
Yeah. And you know that contrast of how far the Lord goes to give when people are wrong. When there's that contrast, it's always like such a, oh my gosh, you're just so different to me. Like, there's no part of my Christianity that will ever come close to matching that, as in I can get as far as little bits of it in my best, but when it's you are so wrong and I will delightfully give myself without ever saying anything for you, there's no match to that in myself. And so like I can like grade my flesh and okay, well, crucify that, and then I'm like, dude, you gotta screw up the bottom of the barrel because there's nothing in my flesh that comes remotely close.
That's right.
And it's just, I just love when I see Jesus like that, because I'm like, well, okay, dude, all the flesh has to go, not just parts that I'm like, Lord, show me the parts of me that I need to. I'm like, well, it's not. He's like, all of it. But it takes being the Lord like that.
It does.
And instead of me grading or me finding areas, it's just like, well, there's nothing matches him.
Okay. Now, what you just said is a perfect example of the seriousness that starts getting hold of a person when they realize that this stuff is not just theology and teaching and Paul and I can read it and go on and just be who I am and whatever. This means that God's Spirit himself is confronting our alien creature and saying, this needs to stop. This needs to stop. But see, only we can say that in ourself and exercise our will toward that end. Mm-hmm. But there's a process that leads up to that, isn't there? Where you finally get serious and you get part of the reason why you get serious is you get sick of certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think early on we get sick of all the negative bad things of the flesh. But then as we continue to go on, it's this fair show and, mm-hmm. Yes, Pastor, I'm glad to be in church when, you know, you're just a monster just a few minutes ago, but just let's quick change. You didn't change anything. You went from bad flesh to fair show flesh. Do you understand what I mean by that? That you know, in the car, it's bad flesh and da da da. And you know, shut up, or I'll kill all of you kids. You know, and then you get there, and then it's fair show flesh. And God's, He doesn't, you know. I mean, whether it's self pity or self righteousness, it's all self. He doesn't want self. And remember, the flesh is all about self. I will tell you, in my life and in my walk with the Lord, I've confronted things like that many times, and they stood as a wall to my understanding and stood as a veil to my being able to behold Him, because I just didn't get it, and I still do. Stuff like that still comes up, and the thing that I would always do is I would submit it to the Holy Spirit, and I would say, Holy Spirit, I know You want me to know this more than I want to know it. And I'm asking You to open my heart first, not just my eyes. Because my heart's not open and He shows me something, I'll use that for my, I'll glory in that.
That's right.
Right? So get my heart right first and then open my eyes. And I remember one time, it was like 5 years later, He opened my eyes to something I'd prayed like that before. I said, Lord, why'd You take so long? He said, You prayed, you know, my heart had to be right first. It took me that long to get You out. You know, just Your heart ready, you know. And I'm going, you know, Lord, You're making it hard for me to glory in anything about me.
Yeah.
All right, so Paul has come to this place, and it is that he literally glories in or loves the cross of his own crucifixion.
Praise God.
You know.
Amen.
And he steps out of a crowd of people that glory in Jesus' crucifixion, mm-hmm. but doesn't include them.
Mm-hmm.
But, mm-hmm. you know. Because I think we all glory in the cross of His crucifixion for us. We'd be stupid not to. My God. You know? But to say, but God forbid, as if God forbids me. And I'm with it. But God forbid that I glory in anything except the cross of my own crucifixion. Okay? So, now remember, this is in contrast to those who glory in their own displays of, show, a fair show in the flesh of being of God. And that's a major deal right there. I'm telling you, this is a major deal. That's a major deal. Because everything in our flesh, you know, wants to make a fair show, wants to look good. But this contrast is, I will be crucified, which means I will take the lower seat, which means I will take blame that belongs to others, because it's Christ in us, you understand? Then it's the crucified. And you're glorying in Christ crucified that makes you look worse than you ever would have before. And people would think things of you that are not true. You know? I mean, I remember somebody once said stuff about me, and they were saying things that were so contrary to me, I would never go there. And my first response was, well, and then Jesus began to kick in, and I went, you know what? This isn't about justifying myself, right or wrong, good or evil. This is about Christ crucified. It's all that it's about. That's the only thing that's important. May I live according to that? Okay, well, you say, what's the point of that? First of all, satisfying the Father with His Son. You know. Second of all, if finally in a really, really negative situation, you didn't show up. You know, finally, mm-hmm. heaven's going, yay! Did you see that? And everybody in heaven goes, no, I didn't. Yay! It wasn't Randy, he didn't show up. And there's just this truth that life comes out of death. And the life that came out of Jesus' death was all of us. If you understand, I'm not going to go and try to explain the depths of all that and that it's Christ, really Christ in, but it was for others. Mm-hmm. He didn't need to die. Yeah. He never did anything wrong. This was all for others, knowing that there was a result for others. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So now I want to emphasize this phrase, after the flesh. Okay? We're going to do this just for a little while. After the flesh. Okay? There's several different ways you can say that. Are you after the flesh?
No.
Okay. And I think we'll find out. We are! But, what are the results of things that are after the flesh? What does after the flesh actually mean? Okay, so let's start with Romans 8. Starting with verse 5. And in my little study that I did here, every time I got to the word after the flesh, I really marked it up to emphasize it so that I could see if I'm after the flesh and what are at least the meaning and the things that surround that. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They have a mindset of the things, and they set their mind on things of the flesh. All right, now let's consider this in light of our first birth and our new birth. Our first birth is the world and realm of the flesh. There's none of this roaming around in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Just Christ roaming around in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and Him living in us. All right, so this shows that if we are after the flesh, well, how about this? Let's say it like this. If our mind is constantly on our life in the flesh and based on our first birth, then we're after the flesh. Is that fair to say that, or am I taking that too far?
Could you repeat what
you said? Sorry, Aaron. Yes, no problem. Yeah, I love saying this because this really hits home to us. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So I said they that have their mind set on their life in the flesh, their life after our first birth, and what we had discussed before in one of the other times was where Paul said, when I was separated from my mother's womb, he was separated from his first birth and began to live after his new birth, which is Christ formed in us. Okay. That those who have their mind on their life in this earth and their person and identity after their first birth are after the flesh. And that's why I said, is that fair enough? Because don't you think that's a pretty challenging statement? Mm-hmm. You know? And to me, we have to, you know, we have to break with self-deception before we're ever going to get where we need to go. So this is like Alana, this is where you start slicing the bread a little thinner, you know, instead of big chunks, you know. We're starting to get down to the nitty-gritty of where Jesus can really live and where the cross can actually really, really, really be applied and work. And I've said this before many years ago, but, you know, when the Lord was first teaching me this stuff, my thought was, this will never work. There are areas in me this will never reach because I'm so. I remember thinking, this isn't a problem I have. This is me.
Yeah.
I remember that. And I remember clearly. And it was like, there's really no hope for me. It's kind of like I'm sitting in a classroom of Bible school students, you know, I'm one of them, and I'm thinking, it'll probably work for these people because they're not as bad as me. But this ain't going to work for me because it's, we're talking about getting to the very core of stuff, and I just can't, it was hard for me to believe that this could actually become actual and real and effective. Okay, well, I'm here to tell you it not only can, but will, because that's God's intention.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus didn't die so that we have the theology of this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He died so it could be effectual. I love that word.
Yeah.
Effectual. Mm-hmm. So our hope is in his heart that he believes this. He holds this truth. All right, so now, don't read the rest. Because I'm only going to pick out parts so that we can focus in on what the Holy Spirit's trying to say here. So I'm going to read verse 5 again, and then I'm only going to read parts of 6 and 7. Okay, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of this flesh. Are their minds are always there, focused in the realm of the flesh. For to be carnally minded is death. And this really is the next part of the sentence. It's actually still part of that sentence, and it's connected right up to it. Okay? Because the carnal mind is an enemy of God. Okay. All right. Now, how many of us will sort of admit that we've allowed the flesh, in many cases, to really just sort of have its way without, you know, any restraints? I mean, you know, certain restraints, I guess we'd have to say that. But, you know, trying to keep it Christian.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know that we all, to some degree, whether we even know it, we've done that. We have done it. And with that, there is an underlying acceptance, whether it's brought to the forefront and acknowledged and bowed to, there's an underlying acceptance that the flesh is, it's okay to put up with it. It's not an enemy of God. We haven't gone, this is an enemy of God in me. You understand what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, see, these are confrontations with ourselves when we start saying this kind of stuff. This is, you know, this, no preacher in the world is going to be able to get in there and point and say, you're allowing like you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I know that because that's what works in me, and it works in me all the time. Wait a minute. Now, what was your motivation behind that? And it could be something really simple, just, you know, hi, or give somebody a hug or something like that, you know? And wait a minute, what was your motivation behind that? And see, I have to get really real. And many people don't examine their motives that deeply. They don't. And I didn't before, but the Holy Spirit over the years has just said, hey, you really want Jesus? Yes. You want him living in you? Yes. You want to be filled with all the fullness of God? Yes. Then you're going to have to stop all this junk that you allow. You know? And so it was like, and I believe the Holy Spirit is also the worker in that. I don't think that we're that sharp, but I'm just saying. You know what I mean? Yes, of course it takes the Holy Spirit. But I mean, it's like he's right there. And I'm right there with him, though. See, it's become that we're linked so tightly together because I'm on God's side. And I remember that. I remember there was a point in my walk that there was a line drawn and I was over there and Jesus was over here and the Holy Spirit was over here with Jesus, but he was closer to the line saying, you know, trying to teach me and reach me and help me to get to Jesus, because he really believed in my heart, but he also knew that I had all this other junk, and he's going, you know, come on, come on, come on, come on. And finally I went, you know, I am going to step across this line and turn around and start pointing at me and saying, you've got to get after the Lord. You know, man, I know that sounds crazy, but that happened. I stepped across the line and I said, I'm on their side. And when whatever was in me, whether flesh, the devil or whatever, they all got noticed that day. I'm on his side now. We're no longer working together. Me and the Lord and the Spirit of God are working together.
Amen.
And this is going to be our future. So swallow that pill.
That's right.
You know? And that really has not changed. It hadn't changed. And I know there are levels and levels that I don't even know about and have not gone to yet. You know what I mean? I'm not. You know, I know that he'll continue to confront things. But see, he's not just confronting things because it's bad. He's confronting things that are keeping me from Jesus and from being conformed to the image of Christ. The Holy Spirit loves Jesus. He declares Jesus. He doesn't declare himself. So when I'm declaring something different and I claim to be, you know, as it were, the friend of the Holy Spirit or something, he's going to go, hey, friend. You know, you're messing with our friendship here.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So come follow me.
Amen.
And I'll get you to Jesus.
Amen.
I'll get you to the one you love. But you got to love him more than you love you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really hard. I know it doesn't sound like it's hard to some people, but that was hard. It's like, love him more than me? Did we agree to this? Did we agree to this at some point? And he goes, yes, we did. Oh, okay. Well, okay, then let's do it. Okay. And then he grabs your arm and like, you know, takes off. You know, I love the Holy Spirit. Okay, so carnal, to have the mind of the flesh is death and is an enemy of God. That's what it says. To be carnally minded is death. Is death. It doesn't say will lead to death. Okay. So that's serious. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's serious. It's an enemy of God. It's already death. And I'm allowing it and really not too worried about it. Oh, God will deal with it. You know I've been a Christian for 20 years, but, you know, I've got probably 20 more or more, you know. And, you know, this is a long journey. Yeah. So it's okay for now. You know. But there really is this time where you got to get serious, and you have to draw a line in the sand, and you have to say it. I'm getting on his. I'm on the Lord's side,
right.
You know, against me.
Amen.
And that's going to be shocking to you, Randy. But I'm against you now. See, and the example of that I always think of is when Israel crossed the Jordan and they set up the memorials and all that, and they came to Gilgal, and Joshua went out, and you know, he was walking and he was overlooking Jericho because that was going to be their next thing, and he ran into an angel, and the angel had his sword drawn, and he said, you know, who are you? And pardon?
Things that are you for us?
Yeah, well, he said, who are you? And he said, I'm the captain of the Lord of hosts. That's what the angel said, but it wasn't really the angel, it was the Lord, but it was in a, you know, what do we call it?
Theophany.
So, there is, so Joshua has been the captain of the Lord of hosts all that time, and what he said went, and he could hear from God, but he wasn't God.
That's right.
And a new day had come.
Amen.
And he got it.
That's right.
And he said, "Who's, you know, whose side are you on?" You know. And he wanted him to say, "Well, I'm on your side, and then Jericho is the enemy." And he said, "I'm on the Lord's side." Wait, you're not on my side? Not anymore. That's changed now. We're in the land now. We're no longer wilderness wanderers trying to get God to rain down stuff from heaven. This is where we're going to live it, in the land. And Joshua got it, and he fell down on his knees. And the angel said to him, "Take your shoes off. This is holy ground." And I went, why is he, you know, he was talking about, you know, even uses the word, "Where you stand, take your shoes off." And just before it said he'd already fallen to his knees. He'd made a stand spiritually. And he said, "Take your shoes off, and this is going to be holy ground from now on in you." Even while he is down on his knees. So that's what we're talking about. That's the kind. The Lord's not on our side
that's
anymore.
Right.
Not if we're going to enter into the land and have Christ formed in it. He's not.
That's right.
And we need to realize that and get on his side.
Oh, yeah.
And so Joshua, as it were, gives all of his, you know, he didn't, but I mean, he gives up all of his stuff and says, "You're now the Lord of hosts. I'm no longer the Lord of hosts. I'm not going to try to hear from God. I'm going to let your life lead us."
Yes. Yes.
That's powerful stuff.
Yes.
Powerful stuff. All right. John 8:15, and it's simple, so you don't have to turn there. Let me just read it. "You judge after the flesh." And listen to what Jesus says. "I judge no man." I was shocked. I thought he would have said, "Well, I judge after the Spirit." Get it? You judge after the flesh. I don't judge anybody. See, by saying, if he had said, "You judge after the flesh and I judge after the Spirit," that would have put a cloak over us to say that we don't have to face the fact that we still judge people. Mm-hmm. He says, "I don't judge anybody." Well, what do you say to that? Well, I still do. Then you judge after the flesh.
Yeah.
All right. So Romans 8:12 says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh." We are debtors not to the flesh to live after. After the flesh. After the flesh. Remember, this is what we're emphasizing. And he said, "Therefore, brethren," "ye judge after the flesh." After the flesh. What you're doing is after the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
All right? And that's an enemy of God.
That's right.
And that in itself is death.
That's right.
So you see how this builds? If you really let it do it, it's like, "Oh Lord, you're taking down my rooms and my castle and my da 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 da." Galatians 4:29, "But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born of the Spirit, even so it is right now." Okay, so we're still judging after the flesh, which is a form of persecution. We're still We're minding it. The things of the flesh.
Yeah.
And we're okay with it. And we're truly after the flesh. Okay, now remember the crucified language we started with. You remember that? So however much this hurts, there's an answer. But it's not the joyful answer of, "Well, the Spirit will hit you and you'll never do this again. Just get baptized in the Holy Spirit and everything will," you know, the cross is still real.
Amen.
Yeah.
and effectual and powerful.
Yes.
The cross is the wisdom of God and it is the power of God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
This is just great. We are debtors. Okay, you tell us, Lord, what our debt is, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. No, no, tell me what I need to be indebted to.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm telling you what you don't need to be indebted to. You are not indebted to the flesh to live after. You don't have to do this. It's your choice.
That's right.
You don't have to do this.
Where's that verse?
That's Romans 8:12. Okay, and then one more along this line of after the flesh is 2 Corinthians 5:16. Wherefore henceforth we know no man after the flesh, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Okay, so our attention, our obedience and worship has been to Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God that had never died. Remember the story in 2 Kings of God given the Son, but he had never gone through death. And that Son was not the Son that God had in his heart. That Son needed to go into death. And the man of God came in and laid on him in the form of the cross. And the breath of the crucified is right there. And the eyes of the crucified are right there. And they're both stretched out as if crucified. And the weight of the crucified is upon. And it began by warming. But you can't be satisfied with being warmed in here with that. You can't be satisfied with warming. I mean, this is great, right? Right? I mean, this is great. But the warmth will go away if you don't come back and keep the crucified pressing in on you.
That's right.
The weight of the crucified pressing in on us.
Hallelujah.
Okay. All right. So you're ready to really discuss the subject title of this? Why would we choose Barabbas? Do y'all have any clue where this is going to go? All right. So off the cuff then, I'll just say Barabbas represents our choice of our flesh over Jesus. Barabbas represents the flesh and our choice over Jesus. And that we willingly make that choice. All right. So it'd probably go faster because I don't have any desire just going late. So if you don't mind, I'll just read where the scripture is, and you don't have to flip there, and you can just mark down the reference if you want to. Our first one, the first four, we're going to just try to get an idea of what Barabbas is like, okay? Matthew 27:16. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Okay, he's notable. All right? Mark 15:7. And notice that I'm reading from each of the Gospels. Okay. Mark 15:7. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Okay. So this guy is already bound up in prison with a whole bunch of other people who had made insurrection against the Romans and against all of that. But not only that, he'd committed murder in the midst of his insurrection.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Luke 23:18-19. And release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. All right. And then John 18:40. Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. Okay, so we got all kinds of stuff. We got murder. We got robber. We got a thief there. We got, you know, sedition. We got, you know, Insurrection. Sedition.
Revolution.
Yeah.
Rebellion.
Rebellion against something.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So the first thing we need to see about Barabbas, or we need to see about us in relationship to our flesh, is that there was a choice that we could make. We have a choice. And that was one of the last things I read about the other thing, that we're debtors. Or in that sense, we are not indebted. We have a choice to live after the life of Christ. We don't have to live after that. But our choice doesn't do the trick. Listen carefully. The cross does the trick. But we have to choose Christ crucified. Yes?
Okay, so this is where it gets really useful, because I'll be in the situation, I'll see my complete attitude, and then I'll be like, the Lord will either tap me on the shoulder, or it'll just be so obvious it's not the Lord. So then that's where I go, okay, Lord, I'm crucified. And it's like denying the person that I am, because I'm like, it just feels like it's all me. No, Lord, I'm crucified, and I'm one with you, and I'm running to you, and I hop over that line, and I get with him, but I can't create him in me.
No.
I can't create his attitudes, and I can't create his reactions, and I'm like, dude, all that's coming back up in me is those attitudes, but I'm reckoning them dead every single time, and all I'm doing is reckoning dead. There is no resurrection life in me.
No, all you're doing is making a choice.
Yeah.
You're making a choice, and that's an important step. It's necessary. If you don't stand against yourself, then this can never come about. Okay. Okay, I know you're saying, well, where's the rest of it? Well, that has to come. Well, it takes ages, because, I mean, I'll be honest with you, because a lot of times, even in that, we're not really real with ourselves. You know, it's like, I'm dead, so Lord, you know, put up, show up, or something like that. And, you know, it's like, okay, you're dead. And he's saying,
isn't it the life of Christ in us that causes us even to recognize that?
Well, and the Spirit.
Yeah,
and the Spirit, sure.
It causes you to even see.
Right.
I'm in the middle.
Oh, there's no way to do it without the Holy Spirit.
We don't come to that in our self, because that flesh doesn't convict itself.
When Jesus said, you know, when he was about to depart, I will send the Holy Spirit to you, and he will convict of sin, and da 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 da. He says, here's what Jesus says: I will send the Holy Spirit to you, and he will convict of sin and of righteousness. He's going to convict you of your righteousness. Okay, so we're not going to answer that right now, because we, in a certain sense, we've been answering it, but the Holy Spirit will take that and will begin to break that to you. That's, again, this is all part of His plan. Anything that we're saying here is just us trying to reach into the dark and see the things of the Lord. And anything that I say is still so far from the full light of His face and all that, but the light of His face chases off all of that darkness. You know, so, you know, I mean, I would love to, as a pastor, see, I'm not an evangelist or whatever, as a pastor heart, I would love to just go, oh, that's simple, I'll show you right here. But the Holy Spirit has to do that. So just be faithful, you know. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not well done, thou perfect and you got it, servant. Okay? So we can hold on to all of these things, and they are important. And we need to say that to the Lord. You know, that thing of how to give Him rest, how to give Jesus rest. I'm with you. I don't see it all yet. And we haven't even gone through that, have we? Okay, well, maybe we need to do that sometime. Because that's important in light of all the questions. And, well, what do we do next? Or how?
Maybe tomorrow morning at 9 we'll do that.
Okay, and basically what we're talking about here is the sharing of something that doesn't answer all this stuff, but it puts you on his side and in the right spirit, just in relationship with him, apart from him fixing it, so that he can move, because we need to be with him, period.
Right.
Okay? Okay, so we have a choice. All right, so here we go. Luke chapter 23, verse 16 and 17. Just jot these down. I will therefore chastise him, this is Pilate saying this, and release him. Verse 17, for of necessity he must release one of them at the feast. Okay, so somebody could go free. Jesus could. We could have chosen Jesus. We have a choice. All right, let's read John 18, verse 39 through 40. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, No, not this man, but Barabbas. Barabbas. We choose our flesh. See. All right, so we're always given an option. We're always given that. And what did I write? We have an option also, Christ or our flesh. We can do by, what was this? We can do by the life of Christ within. Okay, so Jesus does live within us. And if we go with his life, we will not choose Barabbas. You understand?
Yes.
But we have to already be on his side. We have to be one with him. We have to be, you know. And then we'll say, no, we're not going to crucify Jesus anymore so that our flesh can live. We're going to crucify our flesh. We're going to be crucified with Christ. Make sense? At least.
Yeah.
All right. So they chose Barabbas. So again, I'm just going to read a bunch of these scriptures because they're all of this leads to the conclusion here. Matthew 27, 16 through 26. And this is now the choice is made. They've made the choice with the scriptures I'm about to give you. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Messiah? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. See, remember the fruit of the works of the flesh, one of it was envy. Verse 19, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife's sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They say, Barabbas. And I wrote, The flesh knows that if the flesh is going to live, then something must be done with Christ. If your flesh is going to live, you're going to have to do something with Jesus. It's almost like putting him on the cross, making sure his hands can't move and his feet can't do anything in this situation so my flesh can have its way. All right. So the subtopic here is they not only chose Barabbas, but they wanted Jesus dead. Matthew 27, 22 through 26. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Okay, so Barabbas was released to the flesh, to stay alive. And they took Jesus and they crucified him. Good. Okay, now this is still under the same one, Mark 15:13-15. And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And I wrote, Jesus was sinless. He was selfless and defenseless. He was pure in motive and in love. In the eyes of the Father, he was beautiful and perfectly what the Father wanted. So why would we choose Barabbas? And then I wrote, we can't see true beauty because the image we seek is ourselves. The image we seek to release is ourselves. If we do not know the beauty of the crucified, then all we can admire is ourselves. So now this falls under the topic of they get their wish. And then I wrote, this is the way some see the cross. And that is, the flesh goes free and the beautiful, capitalized Jesus, the beautiful is crucified. I'll go back over that in just a second. Luke 23, verses 22 through 25. So here's them getting their wish. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time. Why? What evil have he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and the voices of the chief priests prevailed. Their voices prevailed inside of us. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast in prison. In other words, there is this place where we can get a justification that somehow they don't seem so bad. Barabbas doesn't seem so bad. Our flesh doesn't seem, and it's not good. Okay, and then So he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, and here comes, whom they had desired. Do you want me to read it again? And he released unto them him, talking about Barabbas, that for sedition and murder was cast into perdition, comma, whom they had desired, semicolon, but he delivered Jesus to their will. This is our will. We deliver up Jesus to our will and we take the flesh whom we desire and we allow it to go free. And I said, this is the way some people see the cross before I read this. This is the way some see the cross. Here's the cross. The flesh goes free and the beautiful is crucified. So we see Jesus is dead so that I can be free. And the I that we say is free is still the flesh that was meant to be crucified with him. Yes. And we take the flesh. This is in our mind and our concept of what happened at the cross. We take the flesh off of the cross because Jesus took us to the cross where we're crucified. We take the flesh off of the cross, yes, and we allow it to live in us. And we look at him and we say, you saved me from hell and you saved me from punishment for the things my flesh lived in me and did before. But now I won't go to hell. But the flesh is never crucified. I don't know what to say. You know what I mean? I don't know what to say to that. But that's the way many people see the cross. Mm-hmm. And they think it's all right. They think that's the beauty of the cross is that Jesus got put to death for my flesh, but my flesh still gets to live. And his blood will cover all of the blood trail of my wrongdoings and mistreatments of people and angry words and thoughts. And, you know, thank God for his blood that covers. But see, they never see that the flesh was meant to die. That we were crucified with Christ. And Christ was meant to live. And that in reality now, see, we didn't even cover Galatians 2:20 in our crucified language. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Christ liveth in me. Okay. What is that saying? That is saying that Paul is accepting the spirit and nature of Christ in reverse, that he would be crucified, that Christ may live. Mm-hmm. Christ was crucified so we would live. Mm-hmm. He's saying, I'm crucified with Christ so that Christ can live. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, Christ liveth in me. It's a reversal of it, but it's not. It is the impartation of the very nature of Christ. He could never come to that himself. That is Christ working in him. And he's going, you know, you died for me so that I can live. But you know what? That's enough. That is enough of my selfishness and self-centeredness. You know, I get all the benefits of it. I would like Jesus to be able to live. And I keep choosing Barabbas and putting him on the cross. And I want an end to that in my life. I want it over with. I want to not only embrace the cross of my own death, my own crucifixion, but I want to glory in it so that Christ can live.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Wow.
Amen.
Okay. But how many are going to take that step, you know? And how many are going to even want to or think that that could be anything worthwhile? Well, I mean, because everybody, you know, everybody, all they want is what Jesus can give us because of his death. You know, give me salvation, heal me, bless me, fix up my first birth life in this earth. You know, my life in the flesh. And make me happy while I'm down here. You know. I mean, it almost gets so bad that if Jesus comes back, we go, no, we don't want you to come back. We want you to fix everything down here. You know? I mean, it's starting to get that strong. But that's our relationship with him. That's the Jesus we're relating to is, yeah, we call him the crucified, but he's the crucified so that our flesh can get what it wants, or we can be happy. You know, I just want to be happy down here, Lord. And I know that that's why a God exists. Because it was going to be clear that I wanted to be happy, so there had to be a God. But Paul, you look at his life in the book of Acts, and he is constantly put in death and put in danger and beat with stripes and all of these things going on. And yet he says, I glory in the cross of my own crucifixion. Well, where does that come from? How does anybody get that kind of a spirit? They don't. It's the spirit of the nature of Christ. The Lamb of God taking the throne of our heart. And we're all reading the book of Revelation. Well, the Lamb on the throne. We're all saved. And we're going, yeah, we're saved. They're not shouting, yeah, we're saved. They're saying, glory to the Lamb who gave himself, who was slain. If you really look at the wording, it's not, we got saved. And it was, yeah, you know. It's, what beauty is this? What glory should go to this, and it says a slaughtered lamb. That's the actual words. This slaughtered lamb, how beautiful is it? See, folks, somebody's going to come to this because they're around the throne. You know what I mean? And they're glorying in the beautiful one. They're glorying in the crucified. And Jesus is sitting there as though he were slain. You know, we go, Jesus is victorious on the throne. this little slaughtered lamb is sitting there, blood. You know what I mean? But that's the way it's, the wording, you check it out. And, you know, we're looking for a king with a, you know, a big sword and a, you know, Game of Thrones throne or whatever. You know, we got all these ideas of what we think it's supposed to look like. And he's sitting there going, yeah, I defeated the enemy. Yeah. Folks, we won because he let the enemy defeat him. And we're only going to win in this life when we have that nature and we go, well, I don't want my enemy to defeat me. You don't want to love your enemy? See, that's loving your enemy. That's loving your enemy. It's laying down your life for him. Greater love hath no man than lay down his life for his friend. But Jesus said, you know, forget about your enemy. Even, you know, even sinners love their friends. I say unto you, lay down your life for your enemy and love them and bless them. And when they curse you, and they will curse.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be nice for a change that they actually cursed you because it was allowed of by Christ so that this could be to the glory of God instead of their cursing you for actual things that you did that you won't admit? That you won't admit your part in it?
Glory to God, if not ever knowing about it, it's a silent lamb in you.
Right.
There's no office out for glory.
He opened not his mouth. That's what it says of Jesus. He opened not his mouth. And Pilate's going, don't you know that I have the power to let you live or to put you to death? And finally opens his mouth and says, you really don't have any power at all. You know, if God wants me dead, I'm dead. If God wants me to live, I'm live. This is all, I'm with the Lord. I am not of this earth realm. I'm not living after my first birth. I am not identified with that person. That person died with Christ on the cross. I'm identified with the Lamb of God that is on the throne of my heart. And one day I'll be able to see it actually. And it won't be any greater than the greatness of what, how he lived and was enthroned in my daily life in the earth. And if it's glorious down here, you know, if you can call it glory in my own glory in the cross of my own crucifixion down here, then that's just like, hey, there's a bunch of us. You know, we all have the same heart and the same spirit.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're shooting for by this.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what we're shooting for. It's got to start somewhere. You say, well, there's only a small group of us. You know, nobody knows this. Well, we do. You know? Look across the room. Somebody else in this room does. We want him. We want him. And yes, we want others to have him. But we have this sense that the only way they're truly going to get this is somebody's got to go into death. And it has to be by the life and nature of Christ. And so instead of, well, we'll build bigger churches and we'll have big screens and we'll have smoke machines and we'll have flashy lights and it'll be so great that everybody will just want to accept Jesus the rich. Jesus the popular.
The cool.
Jesus the cool. That's good. That's good. Well, how do you reverse all that? Well, I don't know. God will just have to judge him. How about the judgment begins at the house of God? Mm. See, it didn't say judgment begins at the church.
That's right.
Judgment begins at the house of God. That's what the scripture says. Wow. Well, if we're the house of God, if we're allowing him to live in us, judgment's going to begin there, but it's not mean judgment. It is bearing the judgment. So that they may gain. And instead of going, well, you know, that's stupid. You and your lights and your flashy, you know, stuff. That's, God hates that. Well, God hates your attitude worse because you're supposed to be bearing the lamb. You know what I mean? You know, you're supposed to be an altar in your heart where the lamb is, and we're going to take the altar away. Y'all are stupid. Look at this lamb. That's what you need to be worshiping. We're always removing something so it'll allow us. It'll give us room, you know. It'll give the flesh. It'll give that alien creature its life still. I just wanted to see if it was still there. Thank God. Thank God it didn't die. You know what I mean? You know, but I'm acting like it did so that everybody will be so impressed. You know, I think that, and this is, you know, it's my second closing, I guess. I think the best, you know, the best thing to do is just we all admit, yeah, it's there. It's still there. And I don't want it. And I want to be on God's side. And, you know, you work your way up until you get to a place where at least you're making a decision for Jesus, even though it's not manifesting yet. That's way further than just sitting there going, crucify him so that Barabbas can live. Yeah. It's at least that you're not there anymore. And how do we gain that to that degree, to the degree of in heavenly place on the throne, the lamb slaughtered, and we're honoring that, and we've lived by that? How do you get to that place? You get to it by many of the things actually the Holy Spirit gave me in these sharings that I've been sharing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and of course tonight's just one night, but all of them put together, because there has been a progression. The Lord has been trying to lead us into that. And I don't claim any credit for it. It's the Holy Spirit. And it's the heart of Jesus' desire. I would have gathered you. And you see, we always go, yeah, but y'all didn't do it. You know, well, we don't either. But the point of that is to see his heart. He wants to gather us.
Yes, Lord.
Under himself, so that we can be in his image and after his likeness. And that is his great desire. And he loves you, and he loves you. He loves you in your mess, but he desires that you come into his image. Mm-hmm. He still will draw. He doesn't draw the perfect. See, the ones that are really right are already in him. He didn't draw them there. You can't get any closer than oneness.
You know, when your flesh rises up, you just will not accept this. And just, I choose God, I choose my flesh, I choose my flesh, even though we don't realize we're doing that. And then he comes to the point where, I can't do it. I can't do it. I mean, all the flesh comes up, I can't do it again. Everything you've read is from Paul, and all it's reading, writing to the churches, writing to people who are saved, who believe the gospel,
that's
who are after Christ. And he's writing to them saying, you're in this condition, get with Jesus. And that gives me hope. It's a hope for the caliber. Like, this is the word of God.
Amen.
For the church.
Yes.
For us. For me. For my flesh. It's the thing wildly alive.
Amen. Amen. And see, I mean, just being able to admit that. I mean, that's a big thing in any church. Most people don't want to say that there's... You know, our church is perfect. We're all really good, you know. No, we're not. We're a den of snakes. I mean, in a certain sense, we are. Come on. I mean, really, we got all kind of creatures crawling around in us. And we just say we are, but you know what? We don't want to be, and we're, you know, you wouldn't even be in this room. You would have ran out of here screaming. if you didn't want to hear this. And that doesn't mean you like everything you heard or agree with everything you heard. But there's one thing I bet you that you do all agree with. I want Jesus. I do want, I love Jesus. And something says, whatever it takes, except I'm a little worried about whatever it takes. Is that right or wrong?
Yes.
I mean, and that's okay. We admit that. We admit it. It's, you know. And the emphasis is, it starts with a choice, but then that choice has to move on to action, and it has to move on to making that choice to cross that line and say, I'm with Jesus, and look yourself on the other side of that line, look yourself in the eye and say, I am no longer with you. I am not on your side. I have been on your side, and you are unfaithful. You've never stuck with me. Because I wanted Jesus. And you always want your way. So I'm going to go with him now, and we're going to get rid of you by the cross. He's going to take care of it. Because I don't know how to deal with you. So get him, Jesus.
I was just thinking, you know, once you make that choice, you still have to daily, you know, daily take up your cross.
Right.
Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. Because, you know, we think, oh, I chose the Lord. But it's not and cannot be a one-time.
No.
It wasn't take up your cross either.
Well, you know, see, we'll be here all night. But, you know, basically taking up your cross is applying the cross of our own crucifixion. That's what it relates to. And what Scott's saying is right, absolutely right. But the truth is that at an early stage for some of you, there is no need to mar saying that, you know, well, I'm just going to deny my flesh, because you're not taking it to the cross. You're just trying to be a little more spiritual at this stage. There is this seeing of the cross and of the Lamb that and this is some of the stuff we've talked about in the last couple of sessions, but it absolutely convinces you that he brought you into death, that you're crucified with Christ and made one with him. And when the Spirit of God opens your eyes to see that, then you have a ground for daily application. But you can't apply something you haven't really seen in the big picture and trying to apply it in the little picture. Does that make sense? You know, so the pursuit at this stage for some of you is, I just want God to reveal what it is that's on his heart. Whether that has to do with anything Randy or Kelly or anybody else has said, I want your heart and I want the truth of whatever. See, you just don't even act like you know what it is, because we don't. But that's your first openness. Then the Holy Spirit begins to do that. And then also, he'll bring literature your way. Ow, that's right. And he'll bring people your way, and you'll find, you know, CDs or da-da-da-da. But those things are not the answer. You have to remember that. Those things are meant to stir something so that the Holy Spirit can go, did you hear that? And then he'll talk to you about it. But whatever you heard, just like here, none of this has any power unless you're seeking the Lord and you're going after it regularly after this. And there's part of the daily thing too, you know, that pursuit. Yeah, Deb?
That's the abiding period.
Abiding, yeah.
That's the real abiding, the first stages of abiding.
Right.
Yeah.
And that abiding requires identification. And again, some of the things we talked about is that, you know, you have to get to the place where when this isn't even a victory in the flesh yet. This is where something comes out of you, whether attitude is in you or words out of you, or you do something. And you can either fall down and just resign yourself that I'm in the flesh, or I'm just that, or you can say, in spite of that, the truth, and I'm going to speak the truth. Remember? Speak truth in love. And the truth is, I am crucified.
Amen.
This is what you were saying, Alana. I am crucified. That's the truth. Yes. And I am one with Jesus.
Yes.
And I'm not going to leave that place. And I can't explain. And I literally said this kind of stuff. I said, I can't explain this stuff, but I know one thing. What's true in Christ and what's true at the cross is still true. And Lord, you're going to bring this into a reality where this won't be issues anymore. But you have to drive the stake in the ground. You have to, when you get grafted in, you have to abide. And you know, the way the grafting goes, I mean, I was a missionary in Jamaica and saw how it goes. You don't just stick a branch, a foreign branch, up there and say, well, hold on, abide. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You have to be bound to that.
Yes.
That's true.
Your heart. Mm-hmm.
That's your part. And you get bound to it and you say, well, I'm here because, you know, and he had me do it. And you know, the way you do it is you actually cut across into the tree and you pull the bark back as much as you can. You stick that thing in there and then you tie it in there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I could just see that branch the first day going, well, this ain't doing nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, and a day later, well, when's this going to kick in? I need some apples.
Yeah.
I need some fruit. A week goes by. Well, where is it? And there's things that are happening.
Yes.
There's a connection. A connection is happening. And your identity is no longer, because you do know that you graft by taking a bad branch, if you will, and you stick it into a tree that will have life and good fruit. So, and in one sense, you can say, well, I'm still the bad branch. In the other sense, you can say, but I'm grafted into Jesus, and that's all going to change.
Amen.
If you don't make a stand on that, you got nothing.
If you try and abide in Jesus without that cross and that graft,
mm-hmm.
I've been playing that for a year.
Right.
It's aerial. It's just the flesh. It's
right.
Fixed pair of shoulders. As you get the graft, take a cross, across the
right.
And that, if you really want to abide in Christ, and I know we all do.
Yes.
You've got, that's the first step.
Right.
And my flesh doesn't like to hear that.
Right.
But my
heart. The tough, I'm not on its side.
That's right. I'm not on that side. That's where we listen to the Lord's heart,
yeah.
His word, and His heart above us, and we say, okay, Lord, I'm with you.
I'm with you.
It is still crucified. I hear your heart and what your overall where you're going, and I want to be with you.
Well, I remember somebody said to the congregation, they said, well, you just have to get in the Word and see this. And I remember I got in the Word and I couldn't see none of this. I even went to the same scriptures that they shared from, and I went, man, it was good, but I don't see the same thing. I don't see anything. You know? And it's like, well, how is this going to happen? Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free, not set you free. Make you free. And so you got to just stay in there. And that's why it does. You know, we need the body. We need speaking the truth in love to one another. We need the encouragement of who we are by Christ, not just in Christ, but yes, but by Christ. And to have something begin to help our mind, it's like our mind doesn't just get renewed. It's like this little, you know, the upper lobe here, it gets renewed. And then we've got to move on to the, you know, lower grud. And then the da-da-da-da, you know what I mean? And it's like it's a process of renewing your mind. But to renew your mind, you need the Word. And you need somebody, and preferably, that's why we have one another. That's why fire ministries exist. And that's why even what would be considered silly children's videos have such power in them and more truth than a lot of, you know, churches have, you know. And some girl who looks like a, you know, a man, and you're going, you know, is this God? But then you start listening and you're going, you know, that little puppy is affecting me there. I don't know why, and, you know, because there is life that comes out of it. It's not just another ministry. It's not just that. There's life that comes out of it. I'm here because of that ministry. I'm not here on my own. I'm here with fire ministries, but not a part of it as such. But the life of it, when I get around people of fire ministry, I sense Jesus, and I sense hungry people, and I sense people that want to have an interchange of life back and forth. And so that's it. So we, you know, that's why when we leave here, it's not everybody go your own way and we'll never hear from you again, because then nobody's going to get it. You know what I mean? But it's, you know, Kelly has blogs and stuff, and these people have been on it and share life. I mean, she's asked me to share at times, and then there's a sharing time, and I hear them share Jesus, and I go, I love Jesus, and I love these people because life is in them, and they love the Lord, and I love the Lord, and we may not be perfect, and we're not loving each other for our perfections. We're loving each other because we have a heart for the Lord.
That's right.
Excuse me for getting, but this is a big deal.
That's right.
You know, this isn't an event.
That's right.
This is the movement of the Spirit of God to establish Christ in the body, in
that's
His body.
Right.
So,
praise the Lord.
Excuse me. Yes.
Just to skip back to when we have chosen to stick with Jesus, there's a song that Kelly sings. It's Jeremiah, and it's I Remember You. In the land of your youth, and when you went after me, in a land not sown, where nothing yet has grown. And it's all about, I know it's, the song is about you left me, but in that person's youth, they were just with Jesus when there was nothing grown, there was nothing sown. It was I love you and I'm with you. I had no field full of anything.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's just like, that's like I can be with him.
Yes.
But it's absolutely, and I can love on him. And there can be no fruit, and it can just be me and him. And I'm like, okay, I can love you, and I can be with you, and I can love on you, and I can be yours, and there can be no fruit.
That's right.
Like, yeah. Just
and that's, you know, the last class that we taught was really that. I mean, we didn't have to mention the cross a whole bunch. We just wanted to see certain truths of his heart and then respond to it. And you know, if we do that, that will even keep us through. I mean, remember we were talking about it, and you know, I'd noticed that she seemed a little distant, not necessarily from me, just sort of distant in herself, and maybe not even hitting on all cylinders and stuff and everything, and maybe, you know, dry or whatever. But I know her and I love her, and nothing, that doesn't change anything, and even knowing it doesn't affect me at all. But we're sitting here last night, and all of a sudden, bam, it's like a tree grew up in her.
Mm-hmm.
And fruit popped out. And it was just like, whoa!
I know.
You know? And it was just mighty, wasn't it? It was mighty. And I knew it was God. And I knew God touched down right here. And I went, you know what? All that went before doesn't matter. I will not remember the former days. You know? Here we have life, and something was spoken that touched my heart that will affect me the rest of my life. So, praise God. See, there's no judgment. We can't, you know, the flesh, you know, if you're after the flesh, you judge. But Jesus said, I judge no man. We're not judging. We can't get into that game with one another. We just have to be together and realize if we got nothing else, we do want Jesus. Just like what you said, Ella. That we do love the Lord.
Amen.
And even at times when you don't want Jesus, you still do, because he'll pop up, you know? Because you are his branch, by the way.
For me, this is true faith. This is true faith.
It is.
Everything that we're saying, we don't see. Faith is the substance of things you hope for, the evidence of things you can't see. But it's true faith in the message of, and in the light of the gospel. This is the true gospel of Christ.
Amen.
And that's why we read the Bible, isn't it? To find the truth, you know?
Right.
The true essence of the gospel. The truth.
Well said. The true essence of the gospel. Not just the truths.
No. Right.
You said it well, brother.
That's what in my heart. That's where I want to be, in the body and among those who have that same spirit, that faith.
Amen.
To seek after that, which is truly of God.
Amen.
And just know Him. And the Holy Spirit will bring all that together. I trust the Holy Spirit to bring that all together.
Right. Amen.
Just beware lest you do not enter rest because of unbelief. And the rest of you quickly and get my notes down. But the day when Randy was sharing, and you just brought that back, that I was going, I can enter as rest. I do have faith. And I have something to believe in now. Mm-hmm. That I know he wants, this is what he wants me to believe in. Mm-hmm. Not, it's just, I was just, I can read it now. I can read, I'm not full of unbelief. I will enter his rest. I hear his heart's cry. I hear the Father's heart. Mm-hmm. I see the expectant Jesus sitting on the throne with the finished work, expecting. Come on.
Amen. And that's why God can speak in the past tense.
Amen.
They that are Christ have crucified.
Yes. Oh, that's exactly right.
By faith.
Thank you.
Exactly right.
Praise God.
Well, it has to be based on a finished work.
Yeah, right.
Or we're the ones who make it happen, and we're not. We just acknowledge it.
Yes.
And it begins to manifest in us. All we can do is work toward a manifestation. Mm-hmm. But the truth as it is in Jesus is settled forever.
Amen.
You know. But again, it's that heart thing that you said and that I've said. And that's so important. I'm just glad y'all are here. I'm glad you made the trip. I'm glad that you took the time. I'm glad that because I'm assured of the Spirit of God that there's something in your heart. That you really want the Lord, and I get the feeling you're seeking him outside of religion. I just want Jesus. I just want the real thing. And so, you know, I'm thankful to be a part of something like this. I really am.
Praise God.
I really am.
It's from Luke 9:40. So John answered, Master, we saw someone casting a demon in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow us all. But Jesus said to him, do not stop him, for whoever is not against us is for you.
Amen.
You know, so it's kind of what you were saying. You know, it's Jesus in us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We can't be.
That's it.
Fellowship.
Good. It doesn't matter. And the cool thing about that is that, you know, we're supposed to be able to fellowship with, and then you realize there's a link that doesn't take into consideration anything else except Christ.
That's exactly right.
And so we're supposed to fellowship because, you know, Christ is our life.
Amen.
Can we just stand and maybe you lead us in prayer? We hold hands because we need to identify in that unity that we have and that oneness that is Christ.
Father, the reason we have come together for so many years, the reason we stay together week by week, Lord, is that we are cleaving with purpose of heart to the crucified Christ. Lord, we are not here. We are not here to just feed our souls with religious things. Or we are not here to just stay the same deep inside where your son is. We are here because we love Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to pray an eloquent prayer right now. We love Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We love Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Lord, yes, there are times we have to shake off the dullness. We have to rage against the passivity. We have to take a stand against our own flesh and say, hey, wake up. Wake up, heart for God.
Yes.
Seriously, I am serious. This is serious. But we do that knowing that we are together in the heart of Jesus. We are together, risen and seated, and that we're fighting for his heart. And we're raging against the dying of the light. And we're saying we want the living Christ right here, right now in us. Not because we're something, we're nothing. But Jesus, you are everything. You deserve that. And so, Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for sending a minister of your heart with a two-edged sword to not just pet our flesh, to not just speak deep truths that sound so spiritual, but to take the word and to apply it in a way that it can be effectual in us and bring forth the Son.
Yes.
And say, Father, you sent a vessel filled with the word of the cross,
yes,
because you love us.
Thank you,
And we are thankful from our hearts. We are thankful. We pray your blessing upon that man and his wife, Lord. And we pray the blessing on the seeds that have been sown. And we ask, Lord, that they wouldn't just go into us on an event level, but that, like Geraldine said, that cross would grasp them deep inside our innermost parts, where the rats run free, where Barabbas and his insurrection is set free. Lord, that the cross would end it.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the Lamb would be enthroned, not crucified. And Holy Spirit, right now, together as a family that's been together for years and adding in the hearts of those who've come by your hand, Lord, that we say together, we do not want this to be a sharing tonight. We want this to be the beginning, like when Joshua took his shoes off and said, oh my God, this is the beginning of something new. I'm not just outside wandering. This is the beginning of possessing the land. I'm taking my shoes off and saying, I'm on the Lord's side against my flesh.
Amen.
And only the cross will end it, not a move of the Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Father, may we hold each other accountable, speaking this truth in love.
Yes, Lord.
Father, may we do it from a place of the finished work, but making it effectual for Him to enter into rest. Father, may we not backslide again and again into being in Christ so we don't have to let our flesh end. Lord, may that be one with the reality that we are dead, so mortified, therefore. And may we be a people of the cross. May we be a people of Christ crucified, in whom our flesh is not warmed but ended, and the Son of God who is slain is enthroned. Father, we pray this from our hearts. We agree with one heart and one mouth. And we say, we open to you right now. We're taking our shoes off. Have your way.
Have your way.
Have your way. Holy Spirit, we can't see these creepy crawlers. Show us. Show us. So we can stand against it. And apply the cross. Thank you for being so merciful to us tonight. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for not sparing us, but bringing us into the Spirit of you, through the cross. That you love us enough to not spare our flesh. That you love us enough, Father, to not spare our flesh.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody says,
Amen.
Say, so be it.
So be it.